So I'm in this hotel, and in walks Glenn Hoddle and John Gorman.
This is Referee's World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.
Hello again, and welcome to the Referee's World podcast, which offers education and training for referees of all levels. Our weekly podcast now runs every Friday at 5 p.m. and you can subscribe by going to the website refereesworld.co.uk or do a search in your podcast provider. My name is Darren Cullum. I'm a Level 5 referee affiliated with Somerset FA. And this is Technical Manager Referees, UAEFA, based in Dubai, Richard Mellon. Look at that. First time I got it right. I didn't mess up your extinguished title this time.
Extinguished?
Oh, yeah.
What's that?
I messed up. That's a good point. Yes.
I think you mean distinguished.
Distinguished,
mate.
That'll do.
Didn't mess it up, but you always get something wrong in there, Mr.
Well, it's part of the character of the show. Anyway, Rich, by now you should know, is out in Dubai, and our guest today, and this is a truly, truly international podcast because our guest is sat in the coziness of his own home in the Isle of Wight. It's the mighty Ron Groves, former Premier League referee. Ron, welcome to the Referees World podcast.
Thanks, Darren, and thanks, Richard. This will be good.
Excellent work. Right, so before we continue, I think we need to talk a little bit about your relationship with Rich, and I say that in the loosest possible terms, because you have known each other a good while. Isn't that right, Rich?
Yeah, we've known each other from the early to mid-90s when I first met Ron, and Ron was based in Locking, REF Locking, Weston-super-Mare, and I met him at a referees committee meeting. I'd been invited onto this referees committee in Somerset, and Ron sat there, and I thought, oh, Premier League referee, you know, what do I know, what can I ask, what will he tell me? And that was the start of it.
And you've been a thorn in his side ever since.
I hold Ron responsible for me becoming a PGMO observer. It was Ron that found out that I was travelling all over the country with Lee Probert when Lee was a level two referee, as I came off the Football League, the end of my career because of age at the time. And Ron heard that I was travelling the country with Lee and said, well, you can't go to every game that he does because sometimes in midweek when he goes to Colchester, that's too far for you to travel on a working day.
Yeah.
And he said, come on board. Why not have a go at assessing, as it was called then at the time? And I said, OK, I'll have a think about it. Had a think about it. And a couple of days later, we had a chat and Ron invited me on, went through some training, sent in some reports. And they say the rest is, you know, history now.
History.
So that's how Ron got me into PGMO.
So, Ron, let's move over to you. Let's talk about you, your background, and how you got into refereeing in the first place.
Oh, blimey, Darren. You haven't got long enough. I'll tell you what I'll do in a minute, too. I'll show you a picture of the front cover of a book I've just published. And I've just received it a fortnight ago. How did I get into refereeing? Well, I was playing in Cyprus in the REF. And I got injured, out for 6 weeks. And when you're a player and you go out for 6 weeks, it's blooming awful. Mm. Went back, second game back, got injured again, out for another 6 weeks. And somebody got at the wife, another wife, and said, he ought to become a referee because you'd see more of him and he wouldn't get injured. Well, that's two absolute misnomers because I did get injured. And also, I went all over the place, including in European games as well, which was fantastic, but all over the country. Mm. So inevitably, I was away quite a lot.
So let's talk about the early years of being a Premier League referee, and obviously it's changed so much since then. Tell us about your very first game on the Premier League.
Oh, my very first game. It was quite strange, really, because I'll say right from the start, I got on the Premier League very late, and I only had just over a season and a half left before I had to retire at age, like Richard said. So I only did 11 Premier League games. But my very first game was at Oldham, and it was Oldham versus Nottingham Forest. And I stopped on the way up from Weston. I stopped at a motorway services, really. And just around the corner, there was a little hotel, a little motel. And I stopped pulling there. I thought, oh, I'll stop here tonight and just whip up, because Oldham's only about 40 miles up the road. I'll go up in the morning. Blow me down. I'm in there in the lounge. And hello, I've lost you.
Yeah.
No, still there?
Yeah, we're still here. Yep.
Still here, Ron. Yeah.
All right. OK, just go. Hang on a minute.
Oh, we've lost him now. Ron, you there?
Sorry about that. Yeah, it was me. I hit something I shouldn't have hit, you know. Okay, yeah. So I'm in this hotel, and in walks Glenn Hoddle and John Gorman. And they were managers, manager and assistant manager of Swindon Town, who were in the Premier League for one season. And they were at Wolves that day. Anyway, Glenn came up and he said, hey, Ron, you are going tomorrow? I said, no, I'm at Oldham. He said, oh, right. And we sat down, had a long, long chat, all about football and refereeing, because I didn't know, and I didn't know it until last Saturday, that I actually refereed Glenn's last game for Tottenham before he went to Monaco. And I only found that out Saturday. I digress here, because I was a guest at a dinner on the Isle of Wight for raising money for the hospice. And the guest speaker was Reza Ruddock, who played for Tottenham and for Liverpool. Anyway, that's another story. But I remember Glenn scored a fantastic goal in that game I refereed. And we talked about that, and we talked about football in general. And then I went off. Oh, bloody. It's all gold here. Just ignore that as my mobile. Oh, it never stops. Anyway, yeah, so I went on off to Oldham, and Brian Clough was the manager of Nottingham Forest, and Joe Royal was the manager of Oldham Athletic. And you can imagine, Oldham, I mean, the first ever game in the Premier League, and Forest as well, Oldham home, Forest away, you know. And Oldham beat them 5-3. And Cluffy was throwing his teddy out of his cot all the time. At players, I must admit, not at me, because they weren't very good on the day. So that was my first game. That was my first game, Darren, yeah.
So some fond memories of your first game. And you always will have fond memories of any first game in that situation, I suppose. Did you have, in the time that you were on the Premier League, did you have a very good rapport with the managers and the players?
Yes, I did. Because to be honest with you, I'd been on the league 10 years then. Yeah, I'd been on the league a long time. So you get to know a lot of managers. So it wasn't anything new. Like you were going along and they were thinking, oh, we've got a new one today. Because all that had changed was the name of League Division One had changed to the Premier League. It was as simple as that. So you know, it was just like going away and doing another game. Mm. It wasn't anything different to when you were refereeing, say, Chelsea Man United or Spurs Man United, and then you go along and do them just because they got Premier against their name. Yeah. Because the Premier League still had to prove itself then. Which, of course, it has done over the years, you know.
And how important in your eyes was, or is still these days, a good relationship between referees, officials and players as they come up through the system?
Oh, I think it's vitally important, because they you know, there needs to be that good rapport. You won't always agree with each other, but that's not the point. The point is there's got to be this trust, if you like. I think at the moment there's a battle on both sides. Not a battle in such as, I think there is apprehension on both sides. You're going to get me on VAR now, on VAR, because, you know, I think, you know, both the managers, the fans, most importantly, the fans and the players and the referees and the assistant referees have all got some scepticism about it, which is a great shame. And I think the biggest loss in the game to me is you see a fantastic goal scored, the scorer jumps up in the air and he's, you know, the fans are going mad and they say, oh, hang on a minute, we've got to go to VAR. And it all just flops down, you know, the excitement of the fans, you know, because they're the people that pay the money to watch the game, and the wages get paid through what the fans put into it as well. That's important. And then sort of, you know, 3 minutes later, sometimes 4 minutes later, VAR says back, oh, his elbow was just offside. Mm. So the goal's disallowed. And that, to me, that I think that's spoilt football. It's a shame. I agree with goal line technology. I think it's wonderful. It should be. Is the ball over the line or not? That's factual. But it's still open to whatever it is, technology, you know. And it just
sounds like a BT exchange in here now. Who's responsible for that? Is that you, Rich, or is that you, Ron?
Hello.
That's Ron.
Goodbye. Scan call.
Oh, brilliant. Any normal situation, Ron, we would put these down as potential edit points, but I think I'm going to keep these in because these are quite funny because it's about the third one now. I love it. Right, Rich, I think over to you now to have a chat with Ron for a bit more of a technical view on things.
Yeah, I mean, I would look at... I can remember some games that Ron did, and I spoke to him a couple of days after them. And I think I remember a Portsmouth versus Manchester United was a midweek game, Ron.
Oh, yes.
There was a, I think, I'll call it an incident involving a free kick. There was a story behind, did he touch it or did he not touch it? Can you remember that?
Oh, and that's in my book as well. Vividly, that. And what went on afterwards as well.
Tell us about that one.
Okay. Right, Portsmouth, Man United. And obviously, Portsmouth lower divisions, Man United, you know, top division. And it was a League Cup game. Brian Robson was playing. And the Portsmouth fans, they're great. They get excited. And to have Man United down there was phenomenal, you know. So there was a big, you know, big furore going on with it. Anyway, Man United went 2-0 up. And Brian Robson went off, subbed at half-time. They were well in control of the game, all over it. Oh, by the way, I've got to say here, there were no yellow cards at all whatsoever in the game. Mm. It was really good. And we come out for the second half, and United scored again, so it was 3-0. And then Pompey pulled one back. And then about 15 minutes to go, I give an indirect free kick. And I gave it, it was obstruction. It was a simple one. It was about 20 odd yards, 25 yards out and on the left-hand side, but left central. And Martin Cull, the skipper of Pompey, took the free kick. And I raised my arm and I just said to everybody, like I always do, you know, indirect lads. Jim Leighton was the goalkeeper, Scottish goalkeeper, and... Jim, indirect, raised my arm, you know, and he dived. Cully took the kick, cracker, right in the far corner. And Jim Leighton dived full length and just fingertipped it into the net. So it's an own goal. Nobody said a word. It was a goal. No one complained or anything like that. It was clearly it touched his fingers. That was it, you know. So we go back 3-2. And Pompey are then really sort of, you know, trying to get the equaliser. They never did. They lost 3-2. Fans went home happy because it was an exciting game and they didn't get thrashed. You know, they put up a good show. And went in the dressing room this is could go on a bit, you know. And I'm taking my book away from here. Anyway, I go in the dressing room, knock at the door, chief inspector, the police who was always at the game, with two bobbies. And he said, referee, he said, we have a bit of a problem. I said, what's the problem? He said, a player swore. I said, right. Did he swear at me? Did he swear at my linesman in those days? Did he swear at my linesman? No, he just swore. Well, what did he say? Well, this guy prevaricated. And he just kept, and I'm thinking, and it's not a very big dressing room, by the way, at Portsmouth. And so three of them, the assessor and four of us. And he said, well, he said, his words were spoken. I said, look, tell me what happened. He said, can I swear?
Yeah, go on. We'll just explain. Go on. Yeah.
Anyway, he said, well, he miskicked the ball and shouted, F it. I said, pardon? I said, we've just had a great game of football. We've got fans going home happy. I said, there's been no trouble, has there? He said, no. I said, there's been no cards in the game. And I said, and you want to... He said, well, I'm reporting it. It's going to go to the Manchester police. He said, I want you to go and get the manager and the player concerned and bring him down to the dressing room. I'll come with you. I said, no, you won't. I'll go. So I walked up the corridor, knocked on the door. Alex opened the door. And he wasn't Sir in those days, by the way. Alex opened the door. He said, what's the problem, Ron? He said, I said, oh, well, I've got this copper down there. And, you know, and I said, he's, you know, he's saying that, I forget the name of the number four. He played for England. Anyway, I get him to come down. And I just said to him, look, I said, don't say a word. Just, you know, keep your, you know, I'll keep going like this. I'll be behind them. He wouldn't see me doing it. I'll just say, don't say a word. So we go down the dressing room. For them, we're even more squeezed down because we've got two more in there. And I stood behind the coppers. And Alec and this player were the other side. And again, the copper just prevaricated, you know. And in the end, Alex said, for fuck's sake, what did he say, ref? Because my lot in there were just, oh, I don't know. They didn't want to laugh, but they were just killing themselves going, oh. Yeah. Anyway, so he said, a report will go back to Manchester Police. Okay, fine. Off he goes. So the copper then says, well, that's got them worried, hasn't it, all the way back to Manchester. I said, pardon me. I said, can you just elucidate that again? He said, well, we're not going to do anything about it. He said, but they'll go off to Manchester and they'll worry about it. I said, you're not going to do it in front of witnesses. You're not going to do anything about it. He said, no. I said, right, bye. Up there, knocked on the door. Alec comes to the door. He said, what's my... And I said, it's killed. It's all over. And of course, this is the things that the public don't see. That's why in my book, I've written several instances like this, you know.
Brilliant. It's the behind the scenes stuff. And that's brilliant. I bet the coppers walked away absolutely loving that and wetting themselves laughing.
Well, the funny thing was, I went back about 3 months later and a copper walked in. He wasn't the same guy. This inspector walked in and he said, by the way, ref, the green bit's all yours. I said, yeah, music to my ears. But he said, you've been here before, haven't you? I said, yeah, and last time it wasn't funny. And he said, well, he said, I'll tell my guys today, hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil.
These are the stories that you want to hear about. These are the things that you don't get to embrace and enjoy. I really enjoyed that little story because that's...
Bear with me a second. I'm going to pick something up.
Ron's a comedy show, Rich, in his own back garden.
I can't see him now, so...
I'm back. Now, you can't see this, Darren, but Richard can, hopefully. Can you see that, Rich?
There he is. He's back.
There it is. Cowfield to Anfield.
Yes. Well, the reason it's called Cowfield to Anfield, and you'll know because, you know, when I come back to England from Cyprus after starting out there, I refereed at quite a few Cowfields where they literally had, in Somerset, they had to, Darren, you might know this as well. Well, they had to move the cows off the field beforehand. And so when I went to write the book, I thought, well, I refereed at Anfield. I refereed on loads of Cowfield. So that's why I called it Cowfield to Anfield.
It's funny you should say that because I said to Rich just now, we were talking about things that we were going to discuss with you. And Rich mentioned about the book. And I thought he said Cal, as in C-A-L, Cowfield to Anfield. Oh. So I then said to Rich, I'm presuming that Cowfield is in the Isle of Wight. He said, I don't know, we'll have to ask Ron, but it was Cowfield. Brilliant. Excellent.
It was likely to be Wedmore in Somerset.
Well,
like
funny you should say that, because that was one of the places, you know.
I tell you what, though, you say you take the mickey about the Cowfield stuff, but how many times over your career, and you the same, Rich, have you rocked up at a game, maybe on a Sunday league, and the pitch, the field of play has been like properly churned up because it's just not looked after?
I didn't know you'd refereed at Derby County in the old days.
Yeah, the old baseball ground. Yeah. Ron, let me ask a question about the technical side of refereeing and your particular career. What did you think your strengths were as a referee? going through the system. As you grew in confidence, self-belief and things like that, what did you develop and what became your assets?
I think one of the biggest assets for any referee is fitness and positioning, because the closer you are to play, the better, because you can sell decisions if you're close to play. You're not always going to be there, because a long ball is going to beat you. You're going to have to go like hell to get there. But overall, if you can be close to play or players and something goes on and you communicate with them, I think that's the most important thing. And communication in refereeing these days, and I watched a young referee a fortnight ago, and communication is one of the biggest things. So I think you learn to communicate. I always communicate at local level, so I just carried it on into the Football League, really. And that's how you do it. And as you become, it's like any job, as you become more experienced, you can use that experience all the time. Be honest with your decisions, you know, make it and be firm with it. Give the decision firmly and fairly and communicate it, you know, because they won't always agree with you, but you can sell the decision if you know that. You're both referees, you know that, but that's the important thing, I think, going through that you have to learn, communicate. And it's not only with players, it's with managers, of course. And can I tell you a funny story?
Go ahead.
I'll tell you a funny story. One of the guys you will know, so I had Exeter City, Notts County. And I get there, and I had a call. Oh, the secretary came in and said, "Ever so sorry, but the fourth official on his way, his car has broken down, and he's not going to make it." I forget who it was now. Anyway, luckily, I had. Does the name Alan Cumnor mean anything to you? You're laughing.
Yeah.
Right. I had Alan with me as my guest. Right. And Alan was chairman of Somerset Referees, wasn't he?
Yes.
For a long time, you know. So I went and dragged him out, because this was, it was about half an hour before the kickoff. So I went and dragged Alan out and come in the dressing room, you know. Right, we'll fit you up with some kit. You know. And the manager of Notts County is Neil Warnock. Now, Neil and I go back a long time to be. Before he was actually on the Football League. And anyway, Neil was chatting away to me before the game, and he said, "Blimey, Ron," he said, local for you, this, you know. He said, "You're just round the corner, aren't you?" I said, "Yeah, 60 miles, actually." And I said, "And I went to Notts County more last season than I came to Exeter." He said, "Well, you only come to us once." I said, "Yeah, that's right." He went, "Right, okay." Anyway, we started doing the game. And I don't know if you remember, Richard, but the dugouts are quite low at Exeter.
Yeah, they were. Yeah,
and
they
have to step down. So you're virtually at pitch level when you're sitting. And Neil is giving, I forget who the assistant was, or the linesman in those days. I forget who it was, but he's giving him a bit of stick about an offside way down the other end. He's 70 yards away from it, yeah. And he's giving him hell. So I said... And then as I come back towards the halfway line, it was a goal kick at the time. As I come back to the halfway line, he wants me to hear it. You know, "Line out, yeah. Right, so I hold the ball, keeper, hold the ball. I walked over to him. Of course, the crowd are going, you know, lifting up. Yeah, and I go over to him. I walk down the step to where he's sitting. I said, "Neil, would you mind moving up, please?" He said, "Yeah, okay, Ron." So he moves up. I sit in his face. And I said to him, "Right, now I'm sat where you're sat." I said, "I can't even see the bloody penalty area lines, let alone an offside down there. What are you on about?" He said, "If this is a lesson in man management, Rob, I've learned something." I said, "Okay, fine." Anyway, we go in at half-time, come out at half-time. He said, as we're going out in the tunnel, he said, Lino, he said, I won't give you any stick in the second half." I said, "No, Neil, you won't." "No," he said, "Ron, I'm serious." I said, "Well, you won't unless you've got a megaphone." He said, "Why?" I said, "Because he's over there on the far side." He said, "Why?" I said, "Why should he take crap for 90 minutes when he need only take crap for 45? And I do it every game because then I could, you know." lefts and rights. And he said, this is the second lesson in man management today.
This is great. This is great. Rich, and this is brilliant. This is really, really good stuff.
And say, Alan Cunder, you know, bonus for him, he ends up as fourth man.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Hey, listen, gents, can we just stop there for 2 seconds? The reason being, our time is up for this, but we're having such a good podcast episode here. I think we need to drag this one out into 2 episodes, Rich. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree, but I've got to disappear in about 10 minutes. I shall leave you quietly to interact.
Right, OK. So if you want to hear more from Ron Groves on the Referees World podcast, then you're going to have to wait until next time.
From grassroots to the World Cup. This is the Referees World podcast with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellin.